Tonight we're going to look briefly at Numbers 27, verses 15 and 16. So if you want to turn there, I'll be reading from that one verse. In the context there, we have Moses praying to God. And as he prays to God, he uses a title of God. But it's a very infrequently, little used title of God. Numbers 27, starting at verse 15. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation." So in this brief passage, Moses addresses the Lord using this title, the God of the spirits of all flesh. Now let's briefly look at three things in this title of God. Let's look at the theology, let's look at the disciplinary disappointment, and let's look at the submission in it. First of all, the theology. What he's saying here is God is the God of all living things. This title is a declaration of the doctrine of the supremacy of God. He's over all things. He's over all flesh, he says there. All flesh speaks of all humanity. All creatures, all of it. Think of all humanity and all creatures and how God showed his supremacy in the past when he brought all of them and placed them onto the Ark of Noah, Genesis 7:15. And they went into the Ark to Noah, two by two of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So there you have the breath and the flesh. God is the supreme being over all creatures. World population of just humanity is estimated now to be about 8 billion people. And he is God over all of those souls and every other living creature on the planet. If you are alive, this means that God is God over you. Whether you know it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not. But we can narrow the theology here also to a work of God in this. God sustains life. He sustains all life, the breath, the life that is in all flesh. That's of God. God gives life, and that means God is also the one who takes away life. God is the God of the spirits, or the breath of all life. So, are you alive today? God did it. Do you wish today that you were dead? Life is bad, and you're just thinking in your heart, "Please, God, take me away. I've had enough." God is keeping you alive today for his purposes. Is your loved one in precarious health? Maybe they have a disease that threatens their life. Maybe they have addictions that are threatening their life. Maybe they are making decisions and their wild living is threatening their life. God will keep them alive. God is keeping them alive according to his will. He's the God of the spirits of all flesh. And so we see the theology of God in this title. God is over all living creatures. God keeps all living creatures alive. Secondly, let's look at the disciplinary disappointment in this. In the context of this verse, Moses is praying right on the heels of being personally shut out from the promised land. After 40 years of Moses serving God, 40 years of it, God firmly tells Moses, "You will not go into the promised land." And Moses wants to be there. Everyone's going to be there. He's worked for this for four decades. Later, Deuteronomy 3:24, Moses discloses that he asked God, "Can't I just walk into the land? Can't I just walk in and see it and walk around a little bit?" The Lord says, "No." Why? Because at Kadesh, Moses did not honor God. At Kadesh, Moses disobeyed God at a key moment. And that one big sin kept Moses from entering into the land. Verse 14, "During the strife of the congregation, you, Moses, rebelled against my command to hallow me at the waters before their eyes." So in discipline, God has just rejected Moses from entering the good land that Moses had worked so hard to get into and to bring the people into. So there's discipline. There's disappointment for Moses. And it's in that context that Moses calls the Lord by this title, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh." The only other place that this title is used is also in another disciplinary situation, Numbers 16, during the rebellion of Korah, where the people rose up against the Lord and against Moses. And because they rose up and rebelled, God in wrath moved to consume the people. But Moses and Aaron interceded, and it was there, while pleading on behalf of the people, that they invoked this title of God. Chapter 16, verse 20. "The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment.' Then they," Moses and Aaron, "fell on their faces and said, 'O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation?'" Here's what we notice here. Both cases, when this title is used, there's rebellion. There's rebellion that has stirred God's wrath. And in both cases, Moses prays. And he prays invoking this title of the God of the spirits of all flesh. And as he prays, he makes a request for kindness on behalf of the people. Number 16, Moses asks God to limit the scope of his wrath. Limit it just to Korah. Here in Numbers 27, Moses asks God to provide a shepherd for this people. "I can't go in. Lord, would you provide a shepherd for them?" Moses, while he's being disciplined, while he's deeply disappointed, he asks the God of the living to have mercy on his people. So we've looked at the theology of this title. We've looked at some of the disciplinary disappointment that comes with this title. Thirdly, we see the submission in the use of this title. Though Moses here is disappointed, though Moses is deeply, deeply disappointed, Moses is being disciplined, Moses submits in it. He submits in it to God. How do we know that Moses submits? Because he prays. He's coming to God with a request. And this title of God is how Moses approaches the Lord in prayer. And so what he's saying is this: "God, I am disappointed. I'm disappointed and I'm under discipline, but I submit to you. I submit to you. You uphold life. You decide when to remove life." And then he approaches God with an unselfish concern. That's a mark of submission to God. He becomes unselfish. He's submitting to God and he prays about someone else's needs. What is Moses' request? Not something for himself, something for them. Something for the people, the flawed people, the sinful people. He says, "Lord, give them a shepherd." Has God heard some of your prayers and said no? Has he denied your request? Perhaps is God disciplining you with something right now? Is he making you reap some bitter consequence? Can you submit to God, the God of the spirits of all flesh? And can you, in your submission, turn your concern now to the good of the others around you as you submit? Can you pray, "God, I submit to you. Now you show your care. Would you show your care to others? Care to them, not to me." How can you do that? How can you be disappointed and then have an outward concern? Submit to the hand of God pressing down on you and turn instead to the needs of others in your own disappointment. It's in the gospel, right? It's in the gospel. Jesus Christ, as he submitted to the punishment of the cross, where was his concern? As he submitted to the death on the cross, he turned his attention to the needs of others. Think of it. He said, "John, care for Mary." He said, "Father, receive this thief who's being crucified next to me into paradise today." He said, "Father, forgive those who are currently now killing me." He turned his needs He turned from his need to the needs of others as he submitted to that punishment. Jesus submitted to the God of all spirits so that we could receive new spirits and a new heart of flesh. Jesus submitted to being removed from the land of the living so that we who believe could enter into the land of eternal living. As we see that, as we get swept up in that, let us submit ourselves to the will of the God of the spirits of all flesh. Amen.